Welcome to the podcast of Life Change Church, where we exist to love people to life change. We hope that this podcast is both challenging and encouraging to you. Enjoy the message. Good morning. Hey, I'm so excited. We're starting a brand new series today. It's called I Love My Church. And for some of you, that may even sound weird, right? I love my church. Maybe you're here today and you're at a place where maybe you've even been hurt by church. So it's hard to say that I love my church. And for those of you who are here that are like that, I just want to tell you I understand. I just want to apologize for whatever you may have experienced. Or maybe you're here today too, and maybe you're new to church or you're just checking us out for the first time. And just saying, I love my church, maybe that sounds a little strong. Maybe that sounds like it's a little weird as well. Let me just tell you, that's okay. We're excited that you're here and we're excited that you're listening. So we're going to start out by really just talking about and checking out some things that we can all agree on that we love. So let's check out these slides here. This first slide, candy, right? This picture of candy. I think we all love candy, right? Now, for many of us, we're probably not eating candy right now because we're doing our New Year's thing. We're trying to be fit, trying to change our lifestyle as well. But there's some times, man, where you just want to go and just hit that candy drawer and go to that candy, right? Let's take another look at this picture, right? Oh, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about, a nice beach. I mean, right now we look outside and there's some white stuff out there, but it's not the white sand that we want. It's not the warmth of the sun coming down. So many of you are probably a little mad that I even showed you this picture right now. Or after church, you're gonna go ahead and set up your plans for vacation. But I think we all love beaches, right? And this next picture, let's check that out. Puppies, right? I think we all love puppies. I mean, sometimes when the dogs get bigger, sometimes they get a little crazy because they can chew on things. But man, puppies, everybody looks at a puppy and they're so cute, right? Let's look at this next one. Ice cream. Now, it's freezing cold outside, so maybe you don't want ice cream now, but man, I guess hopefully you can agree on that you love ice cream because I love ice cream. Next one is pizza. Oh, man, pizza. That's what some people are going to have for lunch today, right? Just after looking at that. Some of you guys are mad because all these things are on your list of food items that you can't have, but I think we all love pizza. It doesn't get better than pizza, right? A little double cheese, maybe some mushrooms on there, however you like it, but pizza, man. Let's look at this one. Ah, babies, right? Now, this is a particularly a special baby because this is Tegan Grace Gerlach. She's a brand new baby. She's actually the daughter of Lance and Carrie Gerlach, and we're just excited that she's, we get to show a picture of her today. She's actually still in the hospital right now, so if we could continue your prayers for her, hopefully she's going to be able to get out. On Tuesday of this week, sometime around this early this week as well. But I did want to introduce you to Tegan Grace Gerlach. And then this last one, we have one more of what I think we can all agree on that we love, at least today, right? OSU football. Come on now. I mean, there's kind of a big game tomorrow. So if you don't like the Buckeyes now, if you're a fan of somebody else, well, for today and tomorrow, you need to be on the Buckeyes side. So I think we all agree on that we love the Buckeyes, right? See, I think there's a lot of things that we love in life. There's a lot of things that we say, man, that I love in life. And for me, the statement that I love my church is a true statement. Because I do. I love my church. I love this church. I love being a part of Life Change Church. I know you're probably here thinking, man, you have to love this, right? You better love it because you're the pastor. You're one of the ones that started this church. But really, this church has nothing to do about me. It's all about God. And it's all about Him being able to work through us. And that's one of the things I love. Man, we are a brand new church. Again, we just started in September. And there's times where things are crazy. There are times where things, man, well, that we mess up. There's things that we miss on, right? But there's also times where we're blown away with what God is doing. It's crazy because it's a church plant and I love it. And there's times where it feels like everybody is doing everything. But I love this church because every one of you guys are all incredible. I think we've really experienced how incredible God is by the things that He's already done and some of the amazing things that He's doing through this church. So this morning, I'm going to spend some time. We're going to talk about what God did in 2014. We're going to celebrate a little bit about that. And then I want to share the vision of 2015 with you as well. So just a quick brief review of 2014, a quick timeline of that. In early 2014, what we did was we developed our launch team. And many of our launch team, they're still here. They're probably working right now in different areas, maybe in the kids ministry. Maybe part of you guys were there as well. But our launch team, man, we were able to spend some time together and brainstorm ideas of things that we would need, things that we want so that we could be effective for Jesus. So we developed this launch team in the early of 2014. It's just an incredible team. And then we actually shared the vision of Life Change Church in March 16th of 2014. It was actually the first time we were in this building. We were able to share the vision of the church as well. And then we also have multiple life groups going on in the spring of 2014. Then we started with some preview services in June, July, and a couple in August as well. And then we actually got outside of the community and participated in the July 4th Granville Parade as well. And then we gave away book bags for back to school. On August 2nd, August 9th, we gave away book bags. August 2nd, we gave away book bags right here at this location. And August 9th, we went out to a couple apartment complexes as well. And we were able to give well over 1,000 book bags away. And then we officially launched on September 14th, which jumped back into our fall life groups. And then we ended 2014 really by helping with the meeting needs of Licking County, the Coke Drive giveaway, the partnership we had with them as well. But if you look at it, we had an incredible 2014. And in 2014, we averaged about 5 guests per Sunday morning here. And that's not counting the actual launch. And then in 2014, we actually seen 22 people make a decision for Christ since we launched. And that's just since September 14th. We actually had about 10 people make a decision for Christ before we even launched. It is amazing. 2014 was awesome. And we saw many people experience life change, experience a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. In just a couple of weeks, we're going to celebrate that with those who have experienced life change. We're going to celebrate with a couple of those through baptisms. And again, baptism is this. Baptism is an outward sign of an inward commitment. So if you're here today and you made a decision to follow Jesus in the past few months, maybe you check marks that box on the response card and you want to experience baptism. And baptism, again, it's a time to publicly declare the decision that you made for Jesus. So if that was you and you want to publicly declare that life change, please sign up by just writing baptism on the response card at the end of service. And we're going to collect that at the end of service. I believe baptisms are going to be an incredible service and a time and a way to celebrate what God has done and what God is doing. And this will be another, it's going to be a great time to bring a family or a friend or somebody here to celebrate with people who have experienced life change as well, who experienced that growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Man, we have an incredible 2014, but let me tell you this, we are just getting started. We are only just beginning, and I'm so excited for 2015 and beyond. I'm so excited for what God has because God is building his church. Let's jump into the Bible a little bit here in Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 18. If you have your Bibles, go there with me. Again, it's Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 18. And here's Jesus. And he's in this passage of scripture. He's talking about who he is, and he's talking about how he is the foundation of the church. Matthew 16, verses 13 through 18, it says this. When Jesus came to the area of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his followers, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They answered, "Some say you are John the Baptist. Others say you are Elijah. And still others say that you are Jeremiah or one of the prophets." Then Jesus asked them, "And who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered, "You are blessed, Simon, son of Jonah, because no person taught you that. My Father in heaven showed you who I am. So I tell you, you are Peter. On this rock I will build my church, and the power of death will not be able to defeat it." We're going to jump into this passage and study a little bit. And I think to fully understand this passage of scripture, I think we really need to know where it's taking place. Verse 13 starts off and says, when Jesus came to the area of Caesarea Philippi. Just looking at Caesarea Philippi, where that is, it's on the northernmost part of Israel. It's near the Syrian border. And during this time, this is actually the only passage of scripture that really references that Jesus went there. And what's interesting to note is that he talks about who he really is, and he talks about the church in this specific location. Because if you look at Caesarea Philippi, it was a good distance from Jerusalem. And typically, Jewish people never went to that area. It wasn't a place for Orthodox people. Caesarea Philippi wasn't a place where religious people went. In fact, religious people often intentionally stayed away from Caesarea Philippi. It was a place that was really known where sinners lived and where sinners go. It was a place for messy people. It was a place for the unreligious. In today's terms, it'd kind of be like spring break meets like Las Vegas, right? It'd kind of be like Mardi Gras meets Tijuana. It's a place where crazy things happen, right? A place where what happens there stays there. It's the kind of place like where Johnny Manziel would probably go, right? Sorry, that was a complete cheap shot to Browns fans. I know the season's already over, so it's a little early. But anyway, Caesarea Philippi, man, it was known as a dirty place where bad things happen. In fact, the nickname of the town was called the Gates of Hell, which was not a good nickname. So here's this place that's not only far in distance from Jerusalem, but it's also far in culture. In fact, it took Jesus about a week to go there. It took him about a week to go there to a place that's completely different in culture. And I think it's important to know because Jesus went out of his way to spend time with a group of people that many thought were sinners, that many thought were reckless, that many thought were even evil. And it's important to note that Jesus went to them. He was not waiting for them to come find him. He wasn't waiting for them to travel to him. He wasn't even waiting for them to fix their lives, or he wasn't waiting for them to become religious, but instead he goes to where they are, right where they are. He doesn't run from messy people. He doesn't run from people who are messed up, but rather he runs to them. And I believe this is what we're developing at Life Change Church. And I believe we need to continue to do this. This is something I love, and I think we need to strive to be like Jesus, to chase after people who are far from God. This is what I love about their church. Let's jump in. The passage of Scripture continues even in verse 13 where he says this. He asked his followers, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" So here's Jesus, right? And he's starting a conversation about him. He's starting this conversation about him with his followers right in front of all these messy people, right in front of all these people who are far from God, who are completely unreligious, right? See, not only is Jesus afraid to go where the non-religious people are, but he's willing to bring that conversation about them, about him to them. He's willing to talk about him right where they are. I think we need to do the same. I think far too often we only talk about Jesus really on a Sunday morning or really in the confines of our home where we're comfortable, right? But we don't really talk about him in the real world. We don't really talk about him where the stuff hits the fan, right? Where things are messy. We don't talk about Jesus really where people are struggling or where people are even making bad decisions. But this is where we need to talk about it. Not only for those people, but for us as well. I think he brought this conversation up, not only to bring the truth to the people of Caesarea Philippi, but also to encourage and challenge his followers. See, Jesus and his followers, they're so far away again from this religious culture. They're so far away from the cushion that they're used to. They're no longer sheltered. Again, they're like a week's travel away from any type of organized religion. But look at what Jesus is doing. He's starting a dialogue about himself. Outside that area. He's saying it's okay to talk about him. In fact, it even needs to happen. I think the same thing's true for us. It's okay for us to start a conversation about Jesus, even outside of religious areas. So I think we can start a conversation about Jesus, even in our workplace, maybe our companies, our schools, or wherever we're at. We can start a conversation where people are far from God, where people are hurting, where people are searching, and where people are questioning. I think this is the place to start the conversation about Jesus. Because this is exactly what Jesus did. He started that conversation about them among the messy people. And I think we need to do the same. Don't wait for people to come to church to start that conversation. Because the church is so much more than just a building. The church is so much more than just a time frame on a Sunday morning. But the church is all of us, wherever we go and whenever we're there. So let's start having conversations about Jesus and let's see what people say. Matthew 16, verses 14 and 15, it continues. It says, they answered, "Some say you are John the Baptist. Others say you are Elisha. And still others say you are Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And then Jesus asked them, And who do you say I am? So here's Jesus' followers, right? And they're telling Jesus who people say he is. And then Jesus flips this question right back to them. And he says, who do you say I am? Really, what Jesus is doing is he's making this question personal with his disciples. Who do you say I am? And I think this question for all of us, I think it's probably the most important question in history, and it's probably the most important question in our lives. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to me? Because this is a question that we all have to answer. It's really the final exam. Who is Jesus? Here's Jesus. He's asking his followers. He's asking them in front of a bunch of people who never have known God and who by all standards are far from God. And Jesus asks, who am I? And again, it's that question that we all have to answer, because the answer not only impacts us, but it impacts those around us. And if you look at Simon Peter and his response, in verse 16, Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Here's Peter, and he's saying, Jesus, you are the Christ. You are the hope of the world. I think this is important because here they are. They're among these people who have seemed to be hopeless, right? They're among these people who are turning to so many other things to satisfy themselves. They're among these people who are completely lost. And then Peter answers this question by saying, Jesus, you are the hope of the world. You are the Christ. And Christ just means this. It means Messiah. FYI, Christ was actually not Jesus' last name. He wasn't born to Mary and Joseph Christ. But Christ actually means the Messiah. Christ means the deliverer, the savior, the hope of the world. So here's Peter, and he's telling Jesus, he's saying, you are the hope of the world. And think about this. Think about the people around them who hear this. They're searching for something, right? But then Jesus declares that Jesus is, or then Peter declares that Jesus is the Christ. This is huge. This is huge. This is huge not only for them in Caesarea Philippi, but I think it's huge for us. If we're willing to declare Jesus is the hope of the world, think about who we can impact. And are you willing to claim that Jesus is the Messiah in front of your friends who maybe don't know him? Are you willing to claim that Jesus is the hope of the world in front of your coworkers who may be far from him? Are you willing to claim that Jesus is the Christ in front of your family? In front of those who need to know who he is. Verse 17 continues and said, Jesus answered, you are blessed, Simon, son of Jonah, because no person taught you that. My Father in heaven showed you who I am. Here's Jesus. He's basically stating that Peter, that you have the right answer, right? He's telling Peter that he nailed it. Say it's grade card time. And Peter, when grade cards come out, Peter's getting an A+. And more than that, God is the one who showed Peter who Jesus truly is. And then Jesus continues. Verse 18 says, so I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the power of death will not be able to defeat it. This is why I love my church. Because Jesus said, on this rock I will build my church. The church is built on the rock, which is the statement that Peter made, the statement that Jesus is the Christ, the statement that Jesus is the hope of the world. The church, our church, will be built upon the rock that Jesus is the hope of the world. If you think about it, we have the greatest message anyone has ever known. We have the best news. We have the hope that we can bring to everyone because we have the hope of the world, and it's what the church is built on. And I think this is why church is so important. I know for many times it's very popular for people to say, man, even if they're a Christian, it's popular for them to say that, man, I don't need church. But if you look at it, the church is built on the hope of the world. The church is built on Jesus being the Christ. And I think we all need hope, no matter where we are in life. And I think we can find this hope through the church, through each other. This is why Jesus gave his life. He gave his life to be our Savior so that we could have a relationship with God, but he gave his life for the church as well. He gave his life for the group of people that believe and follow him. And I think we all need each other. We need the church. And if you think about this, I don't think Jesus would ever lead you away from something that he gave his life for. So we need the church. And we need it so much that the power of death cannot defeat it. The church, our church, has the power to impact everyone. It has the power to impact messy people. It has the power to impact those with no hope. It has the power to impact those people who are in complete desperation. And the power is so strong that death cannot even defeat it. Jesus made this promise about this church. Jesus made the promise about the church that he would build the church. And I believe God has big things for the church. And I believe God has big things for Life Change Church. So today I just want to share a little bit of the vision of Life Change Church. And I believe God is going to use us to bring hope to the world, to bring hope to Newark, Heath, and Granville. And Newark, Heath, and Granville, we need hope. The world needs hope. When we planted just last year in September, Newark, Heath, and Granville, the statistics shows that there's 91,397 people. And out of those 91,397 people, 32,257 people have no faith involvement or have no relationship with Jesus. If you look at this number, that's just the unchurched people. But this number increases when you pull in the moderate faith or maybe the de-churched people, the people who don't go church on a regular basis. The number of de-churched people in Newark, Heath, and Granville is 28,798. So there's a total of 61,055 people who either unchurched or de-churched. 61,055 people that either have no relationship with God or don't have a place where they can grow in that relationship. Don't have a place where they can find the hope of the world. 61,000 people who need the hope of the world. I think we are God's plan to reach the world. I believe that Jesus will help build his church and the power of death will not be able to defeat it. So at Life Change Church, we want to chase after God-sized dreams. And when we planned in this church in September, we didn't do it because we thought we could do it, but because we knew that Jesus was going to build his church and work through us. And I love this quote from D.L. Moody. It says, if God's your partner, make your plans big. So here's the big vision of the church. I believe Life Change Church will be a part of launching other churches and implementing site churches in the future. The big vision, the God-sized dream is actually to be a part of 20 multi-sites and or church plants in the future. 20 multi-sites and or church plants that are reaching central Ohio, reaching eastern part of Ohio, and reaching even further beyond that as well. Because the vision of Life Change Church, it doesn't just stay within these walls, but it's all about expanding the kingdom of God. And I think we reach these goals by reaching those who don't know him. So our goal and our vision is to quickly reach 5% of the unchurched. That's 1,600 people in Newark and Heath and Granville who we want to see make a decision for Jesus in the next few years. But the truth is this. 90% of Christians will never share the gospel. And 95% of Christians will never lead somebody to Christ. As a church, as a Life Change Church, we can't be a part of that statistic. But we have to chase after what Jesus did because we have a vision of following Jesus and doing exactly what he did, which is having a conversation about him everywhere we go, even in the places where people are messed up, even in the places where people are far from God. We can still have a conversation about him. I know it sounds crazy, but we believe what Jesus said. We believe that he said he's going to build his church and the power of death cannot defeat it. So we know it's possible. And we can be encouraged by his words in John 14:12, where he says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. And he will even do greater things than these. So the future of Life Change Church is to be a part of multi-sites. So churches like, very much like us, but in different locations. Be a part of churches that are planted elsewhere, right? Be a part of loving people to life change. Loving people to that growing relationship with Jesus. And I think we can only do this with His help. So that's kind of the big vision. Here we are for 2015, kind of looking into what we're going to do. In 2015, we're going to continue to connect, grow, give, and replicate. I think that's how we experience life change, through connect, grow, give, and replicate. Going to continue to connect here on Sunday mornings. And we're going to remain in this facility because we have room to grow where we are right now. Now, we'll probably outgrow our kids' space or our parking first, but once we do that, then we'll have to jump into a couple different services as well. But right now, we're going to remain where we are at this location and Sunday mornings to continue to connect with people. And then we're also going to jump outside this box too. We're going to continue outreaches as well. Our outreaches are going to be a part of our life group. So if you're involved in a life group, that life group can actually go out to that direct neighborhood and try to connect with them, to try to do an outreach where we're connecting with others as well, where we're sharing Jesus with others. Another part of the outreach, we're going to continue to do the July 4th Granville Parade. We want to do another back-to-school event, and there's also some other things in the works as well. But in 2015, we're going to focus on connecting. We're going to focus on growing. I think we grow through prayer as well. I can tell you, for me, prayer is probably one of the best nights of the month. Right now, we're currently doing prayer every fourth Sunday from 6 to 7 p.m. as a corporate prayer. But what we're going to do in 2015, we're going to kick that up a notch and go every other week. So every second and fourth Sunday, we're going to come here 6 to 7 p.m. and just pray. Maybe you don't necessarily know how to pray. This would be a great time to come, even just to listen to people, maybe even just to kind of learn how to pray a little bit better. But I want to encourage you, because those are one of the best hours of the week that you will have, is spending time with God. And I want to challenge you to pray in your daily lives as well. And then life groups. We're going to continue to start life groups. And life groups actually start up here soon. They start up here the first week of February. What life groups are, they're just designed to help us build relationships and grow closer to God. So we believe who you allow to speak into your life determines how much you grow. And if you look back on your life, you could probably describe why you are the person you are today based on the relationships that you've had in life. And this is both good and bad, because I think our future is determined by the relationships. So these life groups are intentional in creating good relationships. And again, these will start up the first week of February. And if you have a life group handout, please take that out. If you don't, an usher will get that to you quickly. Just raise your hand if you don't, and an usher will get that to you quickly. But we have a couple different life groups. We have a life groups going on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. We have two groups going on Monday. One is Mike and Vanessa Cook. They are on the north side of Newark. They're going to be doing a lesson called Aha, based off a book from Kyle Idleman. And it will be a video-based lesson as well. And then Julie is doing that same lesson on Monday night, but she's doing it out in Heath. So if that's you and you want to go to that, life groups go from 6 to 7:30. Childcare is available, $3 per kid. And then Tuesday night, Sarah and I are going to have one at our house out in Licking Valley area. And what we're going to do is we're going to kind of do a sermon-based one. So it'll be a little more discussion based on the previous week's sermon and the messages and the series that are going on at Life Change Church. And kind of really a way to apply these sermons to your life. And then on Wednesdays, Lance and Carrie Gerlach will have one at Travis Linder's house, which is right there in Newark as well. And they're going to be doing a book study called Be Real Because Fake is Exhausting. And the study's basically exactly how it sounds, talking about how we can be real with God. But there's a sign-up form right at the bottom of that. If you would, turn that in at the end of service during the offering. And life groups, they're just an incredible way to connect with others and grow closer with God. So in 2015, we're going to focus on those and continue to grow those so that we can grow closer together and grow closer to God. We're going to connect, grow, and then give. And I think we give both financially and through our acts of service. I think we give financially. We believe that when we give back to God, what we're really doing is we're acting as a good steward for what He's given us. And I think He blesses us in that. So we want to give you an opportunity to give back to God. We want to give you an opportunity to give financially. So at the end of service, we have an offering. And we also have online giving that's available to you. And then in 2015, we're rolling out our text giving as well. And then we also want to give through our acts of service and our serve team. And currently right now, we have 35 people who are on are part of our serve team. The goal of 2015 is to double that. The goal of 2015 is to grow our serve team to 70 people so that we can be more effective, so that we can prepare for the future, so we can help others experience a growing relationship with Jesus. And Luke chapter 10, verse 2, here's Jesus. He's telling his disciples, and I think he's telling us as well, to prepare and pray for more people to serve, to help him and lead people to him. Luke chapter 10, verse 2, it says, he said to them, there are a great many people to harvest, but there are only a few workers. So pray to God who owns the harvest that he will send more workers to help gather his harvest. So in 2015, we're going to connect, we're going to grow, we're going to give, and then replicate. And what's a little bit different in 2015 is this replicate portion. Because replicating is helping people grow spiritually. And I think in 2015, we're going to kind of roll out a better opportunity where we can walk life out together one-on-one, where there's a little more accountability placed and it's intentional, where there's some basics that following Jesus that we can walk life through one-on-one with maybe a more mature believer. Or maybe if you are a more mature believer, you have the opportunity that's for a younger believer to challenge you so that you can take them to where you are. But in 2015, we're going to focus in on this replicate and more of a one-on-one walking through life together. Next Sunday, we're going to have our replicate meeting where we're going to kind of talk about this a little more. So if you're interested in that, come next Sunday from 6 to 7 p.m. We're going to talk a little bit about this concept of walking life together one-on-one. So we can replicate what Jesus has done in our life with others. I love this church. I love this church because Jesus is building it. Jesus made some incredible promises. You look at his promises. He promised that he'd always be with us. He promised that he'd always love us. And that even in the middle of the storm, that he would give us peace. But he also promised that he would build his church. And I believe great things for Life Change Church. I believe great things for your life because of the promises Jesus made. So let me challenge you with this. Don't follow Jesus for what he said, but follow him for what he did. You look at Jesus and the promises he made. He's one of the only people to ever make the promise that he would die and then come back from the dead. And if you look at it, he's the only one who did it. So today I just want to end with this passage of scripture, Matthew 28, verses 5 through 6. This passage of scripture is a couple of women who are Jesus' followers, Mary and Mary Magdalene. And they're looking for Jesus in the tomb after he had been crucified. But then they went there. It was empty. Matthew 28, verses 5 through 6. The angel said to the woman, "Don't be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here. He has risen from the dead as he said he would." As he said he would. Jesus is the ultimate promise keeper. You can believe his promise because he's going to do what he said, just as he said he would. The resurrection is the reason we believe his promises. Jesus was so much more than a great teacher. He was so much more than a person who just said great things. But Jesus was a dead man who came back to life. And I love my church because of the promises Jesus said. He said, "I will build my church." I love my church because Jesus is the hope of the world. Maybe you're here today and you need the hope of the world. As I close and go into this response time, I just want to end by giving you an opportunity to start a relationship with God today. Give you an opportunity to accept the hope of the world and have a relationship with God. If that's you, maybe you're here today and you've never started that relationship, or maybe you're here and you walked away and you want to start that relationship again. I just want to pray with you, and we're going to make this simple. I'm going to count to three. When I get to three, I just want you to raise your hand. One, with everybody's eyes closed and heads bowed. Two, God is asking you to start a relationship with him today. Three, raise your hand. Let's all pray this together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son to be the hope of the world, Forgive me of my sins. And help me turn away to have a relationship with you. And in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Life Change Church podcast. If you are here today and you're listening and you made a decision to follow Christ, we would love to hear about it. Or maybe you're here and you're listening and that God is asking you to make the next step with whatever that it is in your life. We would love to hear about it and partner up with you. If you would, go to www.mylifechangechurch.com and under the media section, please fill out the contact us information and let us know if you made a decision to follow Christ. Let us know what God is asking of you. And if you need prayer, we would love to partner up with you in prayer as well. We hope that you enjoyed the podcast and that it both encouraged and challenged you. Have a great week.